On today's episode of iGaming FM, we're joined by industry veterans Mike Collins and Johan Granberg as we discuss Thunderkick's upcoming releases, the appointment of their new CCO, and where the company is heading in the next year. We also have some cheeky references to some of their previous work. So as slot enthusiasts yourselves, in general, what draws you to a slot when you're having a spin?
I mean, for me, it personally starts from the lobby. Basically, the thing that draws me into a game is the name and also the icon in the game. If it's not kind of resonating with me personally, I might not click it, for example. But in terms of in the game, if the game has like a nice cadence and flow to it, then it's going to keep me into the game. If I'm pressing spin and I get to see lots of action and reactions on the screen with the symbols, then that's going to keep me engaged for a lot longer.
And Johan, for you, is it kind of the theme, the mechanics, the art direction, the big one potentially? Is there anything in particular that you're like, okay, I'll play this game over for another?
First of all, obviously a nice win potential is great, but also the mechanic. I love collapsing reels games. I love high volatility slots. So that tends to be what I'm chasing when looking for games.
And with the high volatility that you're looking for, are you chasing a big win? Are you looking for the max win? Is it more so when you want a win, you want to feel the impact of that win? What is it in particular that's drawing you to them?
I think it's definitely wanting to feel the impact of the win. I know how rare it is to get the super wins. I really like that potential of, you know, I might win 2000x on the game instead of playing a game and you just break even. I'd rather just lose the balance, but have an exciting time doing that, if it makes sense.
And outside of Thunderkick, Mike, what is your favorite title?
I'm very weird like that. I have preferences change on a daily basis. So like Johan, some days I like the high volatile stuff and then sometimes I like the low volatile stuff. It's hard to mention one game in particular, but maybe I could be a little bit biased and mention a game that I have previously worked on, which is Moon Princess. That's one game, despite working on it as well, it's one that I would love to go back and play.
And Johan, for you, is there a particular game that kind of scratches your itch more than the others outside of Thunderkick, of course?
I would say it's probably two series of games. I love the Gold series from Elk, maybe specifically Ecuador Gold. And I also like the X-Up games from Alchemy. Obviously, I'm a bit biased. I worked at Alchemy for a couple of years, but the X-Up games are great as well with the collection mechanic.
That collection mechanic is definitely something that I'm drawn to. I like to see progression when I'm playing. And it's certainly something that Thunderkick have included in their games. When you look at titles like Esquilito, someone's going to have to tell me how you say this game's name. Esquilito Explosivo. I almost nailed it. But when you get a win, you kind of, you know, the progression element is there. You get a win, you get a multiplier, you get another win, the multiplier increases. I think that journey is something that players really enjoy. Is that something that you're starting to include more in your titles? Is it something that you're going to be coming back to?
It's definitely something we're coming back to with Esquilito Explosivo 3. That's definitely a game that we've got planned on our roadmap for this year. And I think we've planned it in for October of this year to tie in with Halloween. Probably shouldn't reveal too much about the game, but it does have the same element of progression that you're describing. And I guess as a little sneak peek, we have also that similar aspect in the bonus game where you'll be collecting some symbols to improve the progression even further.
I would love to grill you, but obviously it's still a little ways off as of yet. Still in development. Things can change. Are there things that are closer before Halloween that you're working on?
Yes, next game, Exterminate, is released in 2 weeks' time. We have then a follow-up to one of our most popular games, Midas, Golden Touch. So that will be released end of April. We have quite a lot of our games planned for this year already. Like, it's fantastic to have so many games already scheduled. It's great to actually work on them and have them almost planned out for the rest of the year. It's fantastic to see. Depends how much detail you want. We have a Sword Off game coming up. We have a game called Eager Beavers, which is a crazy game that can go up to a million payways. We have a couple of other games, but we don't have the titles ready for those yet. We're always working on games behind the scenes. It's kind of crazy.
Exterminate, that title in particular, doesn't have a bonus game. Was there a specific reason behind that, and what should players be expecting from it?
Yeah, it's certainly one that will maybe surprise a few people coming from Thunderkick. We definitely did discuss having a bonus game in that game during development. It was just taking too much away from the base game experience. So we didn't really want the players to go through like some massive dry spells. So just wanted to pack that punch in the base game. And we have the new Bet Plus feature in the base game too. So that also helps the players if they choose to have that option on. They can improve.
Bet Plus, sorry, is Thunderkick's version of an anti-bet let's say, where players can increase their stake size to have different mechanics and features happen?
Yeah, that's correct. This game's a bit funny. We will in future have, for example, bonus hunt anti-bets, but for Exterminate in particular, it's just a way to improve the hit frequency in the base game. So you get those bigger wins a lot more frequently.
And with the anti-bet, there's three different versions of it, right?
This one will have three different versions, that's right. A 2x, 5x, and a 10x version, which will improve the hit frequency by that respective amount.
And Johan, when you're playing yourself, is anti-bet something that you tend to use? I personally don't use it all the time. I am like a base game player. I'm happy with my base game, but I'm keen to hear your thoughts.
I think it depends on the level of desperation. If you've had a long dry spell and you really want to hit that bonus, maybe it's worth it. But other than that, I usually don't use anti-bet. But I know a lot of players do love it. So
in terms of titles like Exterminate, what's the max win within that? I believe it's quite higher than other Thunderkick titles, right?
Yeah, Exterminate's 25,000x, which is on the upper end of our scale. We have a couple of games that have more. But yeah, it's definitely a lot higher than you could say the average of Thunderkick. But in terms of the max win frequency, it's by far the most frequent max win that we have. We haven't been sharing stats historically, but I can say it is by far the most frequent. It goes into the six digits with the anti-bet on. I can say that much probably.
I'll take that and run with it. But it does seem like max win is something that's going to be achievable and attainable for players.
Oh, it's achievable. We'll probably see it in the first week or so of release. Whether we see it on YouTube or streamers is a different matter, but I would almost guarantee that we see it in the first couple of weeks.
And more generally, Johan, in terms of the industry and max win, do you feel like higher volatility titles have kind of gotten a little bit out of control outside of Thunderkick? Are big wins now so large that unobtainable? Or is this mass model that you're using currently, is that kind of something that you guys specifically are very proud of and are going to stick with?
I do love what we did with Exterminate, having a more frequent max win. I think it doesn't feel as far-fetched for the players to actually get that big win. It's going to be a nice chunk of money if they manage to win it. Overall, I think we're trying to probably stay within that level of multiplier wins currently. But Mike might want to elaborate on that. But
no, I completely agree with that statement. I mean, it's nice to try something new for Thunderkick, but it's also nice to stick to what we know and how we'd like to develop games. We have to kind of exit our comfort zone eventually. And I feel like the games this year, Exterminate in particular, stretched that comfort zone to the limit a little bit. But variety is kind of like the spice of life, in my opinion. And we don't really want to keep releasing the same game math model over and over again. And it's worth a try.
Last year's standout hit, to me at least, was Hot Potato. I don't have any stats to back that up outside of my own personal taste. But why do you think that game resonated with people so much? And is it something you'd be looking to build upon again in the future?
Yeah, you're correct. Hot Potato was one of the two best performers from last year. The other one was being Wildos. Hot Potato, yeah, it was our first cluster game. That was the whole reason why we did Hot Potato, was to create our own spin on a cluster game. And paired that with a fantastic and funny theme. I believe one of the artists went to New York herself, and that was actually some of the inspiration behind some of the symbols in the background. And it just flows really nicely. I feel like it was a really big success, and definitely if we get a chance to do a sequel, then it's definitely something we'll look into.
And with that kind of titles that go on to be successful long after their launch window, I'm presuming titles in your portfolio like Pink Elephants, Esquilito, as we mentioned, they're kind of evergreen content, and Hot Potato falls alongside that. I'm presuming that's kind of the end goal, as opposed to just having a peak release, you're actually looking for titles that are evergreen and have commercial success long after their release.
No, I just wanted to jump in quickly about here what Mike said. Hot Potato and its performance, it's really taken off, and we can actually see that the tail of that game is very, very strong, and actually more and more players are finding it and playing it, so it's an incredibly good release for us.
Mike, how do you ensure that longevity is in each title? How are you bringing players back? How are you keeping that replayability aspects within kind of a product's development?
My approach to this one, it's the first task is obviously to draw the players in with the graphics and the name. It's a little theory of mine where the name is almost the most important aspect of the game. But what keeps the player coming back for more is the math model. It needs to offer something to all his players. Like you've mentioned before, you're a base game player, and predominantly I am too. So as long as it keeps those players who can play the game naturally and as designed, and they have regular fun along the way, and they have this really cool journey from the base game to the bonus game and so on, and if there's other features as well, just as long as they're engaged at all times, something in their brain sparks to say, oh, this is cool and I want to experience that again, then we're happy. I'm doing my job correctly if a player wants to come back to a game that we've created.
Absolutely. I think longevity is key here. And I mean, if we manage to find a couple of games a year with that longevity, obviously that's great for Thunderkick.
And after Exterminate, sorry, you will have to remind me, the next title after that one is...
It's Midas Golden Touch 2.
Tell me everything. I mean, that game's so good. The original, at least, I have spent many hours getting the golden doors to open, going through to the bonus, you know, increasing the multipliers. So yeah, tell me everything you can about that game. I'm keen to know more.
So yeah, Midas Golden Touch 2. I mean, it's a long time in the making, but yeah, for the intention behind the sequel for Midas 2 Golden Touch is we didn't really want to go too far off the script of Midas 1, so we wanted the players to kind of experience what they had in the original and what they loved about the original, which is the wild multipliers and then the sticky respins in the bonus game. What we wanted to do was it's to really elevate that aspect and to have higher multipliers and a bigger chance of winning big. We haven't changed anything really with the hit frequencies. It's still the same volatility, it's still the same hit frequency. It's just that we've kind of beefed up the other stats along with it. Sequels are very difficult, especially one that's so popular. We didn't want to go too far off-piste and alienate the players. It's more of a Midas 2.0 where they can enhance the experience from the first one.
And Johan, with recently you released Midas Golden Touch Christmas Edition, I'm presuming that you've seen from that that players have an affinity to, you know, the title. People are drawn to the name. It has mass appeal. And from that, did that encourage you to go on to release a sequel? Can you tell me more about that journey?
I believe that Midas 2 was already planned when we released Midas Christmas. Midas Christmas performance really underlined how much players actually was excited for a Midas Golden Touch 2. So this just made us, I think, way more confident in that we will have a great release for Midas Golden Touch 2 in April. So yeah, we're really looking forward to that game.
Mike, what song comes after Midas Golden Touch 2? Is there anything you can talk about?
After Midas Golden Touch 2 is King of the Party. King of the Party is it's a fun game. It's very tied to the old Thunderkick roots of a really cool theme and cool music. It's basically the high pay symbol is a lion who's a DJ. And if we want to refer this to another game or to compare, it's closer to the popular game Carnival Queen. It's not a remake or a skin, it's more of an improvement on that mechanic where we can progress the multiplier level a lot quicker than usual. Along with the theme and the mechanics, I won't spoil all the surprises, but it's one that we're super excited about and I think it'll be very popular.
Johan, do you mind me asking, Thunderkick in general, what is it that you would say is your USP, if I can put you on the spot and ask you to nail that down? Why is it that people would come to Thunderkick and play a Thunderkick game as opposed to any of the other competitors that are out there?
I think even before I joined Thunderkick, Thunderkick came across to me as a company that's fun and quirky. And I think that really, really reflects in the games, both the upcoming games, but also the legacy games. So that would be my thing, fun and quirky, and a lot of great graphics, obviously, and we have a very talented team behind for the games as well. So fun and quirky company.
Also evident in their staff. And Mike, do you follow that kind of remit? Do you think that's kind of what separates Thunderkick from competitors that are out there, is kind of your personality?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's exactly the same reason that I joined Thunderkick almost 2 years ago as well. Sorry to steal Johan's same answer there and sound boring, but it's exactly true. I mean, I was at Play and Go for around 8 years before Thunderkick, and I always kept track of Thunderkick's releases and always played them. And it was a fantastic opportunity to be able to join them. And it's something, again, we want to keep that essence kind of moving forward with our new releases too. That's not going to change.
So, Johan, how has Spencer's recent appointment as Thunderkick's new Chief Commercial Officer impacted Thunderkick?
We're obviously very, very excited to have Svante on board. I think with his experience, we're very, very excited to see what he can do. Obviously now we've had a couple of months together and you can already see the benefits. He's really tightening the team up, and we're already making huge progress from a commercial point of view. So onwards and upwards. It's going to be a great time here with Svante.
Mike, from a product standpoint, has it had any impact on how you're releasing games at all? Has it more so just provided clearer direction? Is there anything that's crossed over into your department?
We've been receiving regular feedback from the team. He's quite new. I don't think he's had a chance to speak to me proper yet, but I'm anticipating that day to arrive very shortly, I imagine. But for now, we'll just be creating games the way we've always been creating games. But any feedback and all feedback from operators and players alike is definitely something we keep our ear to the ground to.
With that, thanks a lot for joining us, Mike and Johan. It's interesting to discuss Midas Golden Touch 2 and Exterminate and everything you have upcoming in the pipeline.